only group that...
Let's open the meeting of the House Committee on Land Use for Tuesday, May 26, 2009. I'm going to move the agenda around a little bit out of respect for a senator who's visiting to testify on one of the bills. So let's open a public hearing on Senate Bill 634. I have let the sponsor of the bill know that we'll have a hearing today. We still need a little bit of consideration on this bill, so we won't be moving it today. But I want to get the hearing done and on the record. Ms. Ross?
Madam Chair and Committee, the measure assigns fourth priority for inclusion within an urban growth boundary to lands zoned for exclusive farm use that are adjacent to urban growth boundaries. Assigns fifth and lowest priority for inclusion within an urban growth boundary to lands designated for agriculture or forestry or both in an acknowledged comprehensive.
Okay. Thank you. Welcome, Senator Telfer.
Well, thank you, Chair Nolan and members of the committee. I'm Chris Telfer, Senator from District 27, and thank you for hearing the bill today. And I guess I want to start by saying 5 months ago, I was finishing my six-year term on City Council in the City of Bend, and my last words to the City Council were, well, when I go to the legislature, I'll see if I can fix this with some legislation. During the 6 years on City Council, I spent a good four of them working on the UGB expansion. Mm-hmm. And it was a grueling process, still not done. But one of the issues that came up was, and I think you have a map in front of you, was there was a piece of land, 640 acres on the east side of town, which is owned by the Department of State Lands. Used the proceeds and the value of that is to be used for the Common School Fund. It's a piece of land that is across the street from the city limits. In fact, the southern edge of it borders the city limits. Across the street is the junior high. Lots of expansion there. Lots of development. The proposed map is the green area that you see on that map. And as you can see, this little red checkerboard is the DSL land, and it's almost beginning to create an island. It's kind of an obstacle of the city growing eastward because it's fourth on the statutory priority list and was not given high consideration to be included in the urban growth boundary expansion. Some other areas were, as a result, that may or may not be as acceptable to good urban planning. I believe Senator Walker is going to address the Common School Fund and what they've done with that piece of property as far as master planning, so I'll skip over that. But as I looked at this, I felt that this was an obstacle in good urban planning, good urban growth to the east of Bend in the direction that it should be going. And so the bill adds a fifth level of statutory priority list and pulls out DSL land. There are two, currently there are only two state lands that would qualify under this bill, one piece of property being this one in Bend and the other one being up in Redmond. So with that, I'll either take questions or I would prefer to allow Senator Walker to give the other side of the story as far as the Common School Fund.
Excellent. Welcome,
Excuse
Senator.
Me, can I get one quick question? I didn't hear something she said.
Okay.
The second piece of land that this would apply to, I just didn't hear you.
It's in Redmond.
Thank you. That's all.
Thank you, Senator Walker. Senator Walker.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm supposed to be testifying on three bills, and I'm in one committee, and I was with the co-chairs. So
make sure you have the right one here.
I did. I was hoping this might be a cloning bill, however, so I could clone myself. I am delighted to be here on this bill because, for me, it's the Common School Fund. For Senator Telfer, it's good urban planning. I don't really care. All I know is this can make money for the Common School Fund to reduce the amount of general fund we have to contribute to education, happily have to contribute to education. But as you know, Madam Chair, members of the committee, the Common School Fund was created to help fund K-12 education.
education in Oregon in 1859. In fact, Congress awarded Oregon the 36th and 16th section of each land of land in each township. Some states, when they joined the Union, got more later. Some got less. We kind of got, you know, the short end of the stick, but we have done pretty well with the money or the land that we've achieved. So I have to tell you, in the early 1900s, we had corrupt politicians and land swindlers, imagine that, that stole some of the land, and so Oregon was left with less than it started with. The whole idea behind the Common School Fund and providing schools with states with this land was to have a public education system, which is what Thomas Jefferson thought was so important to this country. So in 1990, well, when Congress gave us our land, some of it was already assigned to somebody else. Somebody already had it. So they agreed to give us in lieu lands or lands instead of. Well, that went along for quite a while, and no one did anything about it until we sued them, I believe, in 1967 or something. Am I correct, Lou? 1987, somewhere around in there. Anyway, it took us a long time to get a judgment from Congress over this. And so we got a judgment in U.S. District Court in 1991 that says the federal government owed us 5,202 acres. That's a lot of land, really, because it's land we could use to maximize revenues into the Common School Fund. Well, it's taken us a long, long time to work out with BLM what those lands are, because they're all BLM lands. And we didn't want just plain old sagebrush land that we couldn't make anything from. Well, this is sagebrush land, but it's right next to the city of Bend, which was, until the economy blew up, was growing at a very fast pace. But we got this 640-acre tract of land from the federal government, and our land board has developed what's called the Stevens Road Tract Conceptual Master Plan, and you can see it on their website. I actually have only one copy because I forgot to ask Ms. Soliday to bring one, and I'll just give you mine, and she can get me another, and you can just pass that down. And so it's an entire master plan community, which has never been done before in Oregon, but it has been done before in some other states. So Oregon is working very closely with other states who have done such endeavors to make sure we do it right and we make money for the private industry as well as for money into the Common School Fund. But we can't do a darn thing with this property until it comes into the UGB. And unfortunately, Ben has been bringing in other property into the UGB that actually shouldn't belong there, like irrigated land. So we're just trying to help the city of Bend do a better job of good urban planning. And that's why we brought forward this bill, to at least get our piece of property on the higher priority list to bring it into the urban growth boundary for the Common School Fund. And that's why this bill is here.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any questions for our two senators? Representative Klein.
Briefly, Senator Telford, have you any concerns about utilizing, for example, if Senate Bill 763, which is a transferable development credit, or we're about to go testify together on House Bill 2228, that has some transferable development rights. Would you have concerns about utilizing an option that would expedite the development of this property, but also remove housing rights off of things like the Elliott State Forest, which oddly enough do have housing rights, but that would be a way to expedite it, gain some additional benefits, and get it done, I think, more quickly, potentially, than having to wait for priority orders to be expired before we got to the fifth one.
Chair Nolan, Representative Clem, a very intriguing concept. I'd be very open to that. But I have not had a chance to discuss that with you or to look into it, but it's very intriguing.
Okay. I like what they're doing.
Thanks. Anything else? Representative Esquivel?
Thank you, Madam Chair. In Bend, when we put that in the UGB, do you have How do you annex property in Bend? Is it a application annex? Is it a annex of the whole UGB? Is it a voting annexation? How exactly does that work?
Chair Nolan, Representative Esquivel, it is about to change, I think. One of the things that council worked on was, right now it's by application. At this point, we have annexed the entire existing UGB just over a period of time. In the future, we're looking at the possibility of annexing based on master planning property that would come in. We're looking at better urban planning that way versus, you know, 5 acres here, 2 acres there, whatever. So it varies. But right now, it's kind of on an application basis. All our UGB, current UGB land is, I believe, in the city limits right now.
Follow-up question.
Follow-up. Representative.
On this piece of property, this section of land, 640 acres, did you say, or 620, something like that? Are we going to sell this off to private parties, or what exactly are we doing with it?
Chair Nolan, Representative Esquivel, it is being master planned by DSL right now. I don't know exactly what their intention is, if they're going to develop it and then sell it or you know, sell the rights to develop it or sell it as individual lots. They've got mixed use as far as schools being there, some affordable housing being there. So I don't know exactly how they're going to convert it to cash.
Madam Chair, and,
Senator Walker, yeah.
Representative Esquivel, Director Soliday is in the audience, and she could better answer that. My understanding is we will sell, there will be housing, so we'll sell lots. We'll sell a big chunk of the land for developers to then sell individual lots to homeowners, so then we won't own the land. But we're also going to have office buildings and things like that, and whether we sell the land or become a lessee or a leasing agent, I'm not sure. Ms. Soliday can answer that for you more completely. I also know that on this property we'll have a potential for renewable energy as well, renewable energy products projects. So there's really quite a variety of things that we're going to use in this mixed-use development to continue to make money for the Common School Fund. I will tell you that in Arizona, in south of Phoenix, they have a resort that they built on their border, and they make a ton of money on this thing for their Common School Fund. It's just, you know, it helps private industry do their thing, and it also does something for government and funding education in Oregon, which is what's the beauty of this master plan.
Madam Chair, if I may.
Yes, Senator.
Thank you. In addition to that, there's a little bit of time in totally developing that, because right across the western border here of the DSL land will be a new sewer line that's going to be coming. It's right across the front of their property. And that road that goes north-south right across the west side of the DSL property is the one of two major arterials that the city of Bend has. And so as that it gets built out a little bit more, it's going to offer a whole lot more potential to the land. So I don't know that it'll happen the day the UGB map is accepted and finalized by the state or not, but you know, in the very short term, that land hopefully will be developable. And then if you really would like more details on the answer to your question, you might want to call on Luis Soliday, who is here.
Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you much. Okay. Thanks much.
Thank you.
Because I understand one of our members needs to also be a clone and be somewhere else, I'm going to recess this public hearing for a few minutes and open a work session on Senate Bill 763, which we heard last week and we're ready to move. I appreciate your waiting for me, since this is a bill I am chief sponsor of. We're in work session now. I also understand that there was some concern, perhaps a potential for some ambiguity about a reference to the Oregon Conservation Strategy in the bill.
Senate Bill 763, just to refresh your memory, refers to the conservation opportunity areas identified within the Oregon Conservation Strategy that was, according to the bill, prepared in 2006. But a more precise reference would be that the Oregon Conservation Strategy was adopted by the State Fish and Wildlife Commission in 2005 and published rather than prepared by the State Department of Fish and Wildlife in February of 2006. You could take prepared to mean published. And so I wanted to make sure we were clear on the record what the intent was. It seems to me that it's the intent that the conservation opportunity area identified in the Oregon Conservation Strategy will be protected from development under the Transfer of Development Credit Program authorized in the bill. I know you talked about this when I wasn't here, and maybe you've already addressed that, but I wanted to make sure we were clear about what that phrase in the bill meant. With that, I'm ready to take a motion on the bill.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I move Senate Bill 763 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Garrett moves Senate Bill 763 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion on the motion? Any objections? Seeing none, motion carries. I will carry that bill on the floor, and we will close that work session. Thank you, Representative. I'm not sure we're ready to move 691 yet, so I'm going to go back and reopen the public hearing on Senate Bill 634. I have also Kelly Ross signed up to testify. Mr. Ross, is it the committee's interest to hear from Director Soliday as well? She's not signed up, but I'm sure she'd be available to chat with us if we need to. Mr. Ross.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Kelly Ross, and I'm appearing today on behalf of NAOP, the Commercial Real Estate Development Association. Our members are developers, owners, and related professionals involved in the office, industrial, and mixed-use real estate industry, and come to express strong concerns about Senate Bill 634. Red flags go up anytime we see amendments to the land use statutes being proposed that are based on very specific localized situations. And it's even more so the case in this situation because it involves a very crucial statute, 197-298, the priority ranking statute that applies to any urban growth boundary expansion. I was involved in the work group that developed this statute back in 1995. It was a work group made up of almost virtually every interest group involved in land use and had strong bipartisan support. It has not been amended since that time. And if passed, Senate Bill 634 would significantly change the priority ranking statutes and for the first time in Oregon land use law enact an approval standard specifically favoring one particular landowner, in this case the state of Oregon, over all other owners of farm properties. The situation in Bend is on review right now with the Department of Land Conservation and Development and Land Conservation Development Commission. There's been appeals to LUBA and perhaps beyond. All that is to say that there will be further deliberation on this. The state will have another bite at the apple to make their case. We do not believe it's fair at this point for the state to intervene and change the law to favor any particular owner in that process. And while our members are certainly interested in public-private development partnerships with the state. We don't think the way to go about that is through changing the laws to give any particular owner preferential treatment. In addition to the bills that Representative Clem was suggesting as an alternate option to be used in this situation, it occurred to me that some of the changes enacted by House Bill 2229 that allows counties to do remapping of agricultural land would also be beneficial for the situation, that if the state and the county want to pursue that approach, the state's land could be upgraded to non-resource land and move up to number two on the list of priorities for UGB expansions. So with that, I would be open to any questions you might have.
Thank you. Anyone have questions of Mr. Ross? Thanks. Anyone else to testify on Senate Bill 634? Okay. I'm going to carry this item over for purposes of work session only to Thursday's agenda. And I'll close the public hearing. Representative Greenwick, would you like to cast a vote on 763? We just passed it out.
I would.
You would?
I would like to cast a vote.
Chair requests unanimous consent to allow Representative Greenwick to cast a vote on Senate Bill 763. Any objections? Seeing none, let's reopen that work session.
Vote yes.
Representative Greenwick votes yes. Close the work session. Thanks. Can we take about a 5-minute recess just to check where we are? back to order the House Committee on Land Use for Tuesday, May 26, 2009, and we'll open a work session on Senate Bill 691. Just to refresh our memory, since we had the hearing on this last week, Ms. Ross?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, the measure modifies provisions for claiming compensation for land use regulations that restrict forest practices on private real property, allows claim by an owner based on land use regulation under Oregon Forest Practices Act or administrative rule of the State Board of Forestry or any other rule or law enacted solely for the purpose of regulating a forest practice, enacted or adopted after the effective date of this act, authorizes an owner filing such a claim to do so for property that is a lawfully established unit of land, authorizes an owner to file separate claims for different lawfully established units of land at the same or different times, establishes that claims of reduction of fair market value on a lawfully established unit of land may be shown by appraisals of land value and harvestable timber value with and without application of the subject regulation, and allow certain authorizations granted to claimants to be used by subsequent owners of the property.
I'm sure that helps us all remember what the bill does. Thank you, Ms. Ross. We're in work session, and I'm ready for a motion, Representative Garrett.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 691A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Garrett moves Senate Bill 691 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion on the motion? Representative Greenlee.
Madam Chair, I'm going to vote yes on the motion, but I have not decided how I'll vote on the floor, so okay. Let me put that on the record.
Great. Anyone else?
Madam Chair, I'm in a similar position to Representative Greenlee.
Thank you, Representative Cowan. Appreciate that. Any other discussion? Okay. Any objections? Seeing none, motion carries. Would you like to carry the bill?
I'll take it.
Representative Hanna will carry the bill. And we're going to close the work session. No further business for us today. We do have one bill, two bills. We carried one over.
The one from today.
Okay. So see you Thursday. We're adjourned.